We've heard the story of Palm Sunday already, complete with Gangnam style dancing. Let me just read it again. And actually, let's just pray before I do that. Father, as we listen to your word now, and as we listen for your word to us, we pray that we would be able to hear, that you would break through the deafness of our hearts and our minds, and that we would know something of what you are saying to each one of us personally, individually, and as a church together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, if you've got your Bibles, do follow with me. This is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And I'm going to be reading from verse 28. Luke 19 from verse 28. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Some of you will have met our dog, Cara. She's only 6 months old, and so completely full of boundless energy. She spends a lot of her time lying on a cushion in the kitchen, stretched out with her head on her paws like that. But if she sees me putting on my boots, she'll sit up and stare intently at me. And then if she sees me putting on my coat and my hat, she will leap up and race over to me and probably race around me several times and over to the door and back to me and over to the door again. Because she expects that when I put on my outdoor coat and clothes, it means that I am going out for a walk, which means she's going out on a walk too. And that is what she expects. Sometimes, of course, that just isn't what happens. Sometimes I'm going to the shops or out in the car or out to a meeting or something like that, which means that her great expectations of a walk are to be sorely disappointed. And she sits behind the front door looking out and howls. There were a lot of expectations around on the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Try and imagine what it must have felt like if you were there. The Sadducees had expectations. The Sadducees, if you hadn't heard of them, were one of the religious groups who led the Jews. And they had a tradition in which they believed that the Messiah would show up 4 days before Passover. Now, Passover is Thursday, so 4 days before that is the day we're thinking about today, Palm Sunday, as we know it today. And the Sadducees kept the gates of the temple open so that the Messiah could walk straight in to his rightful place. So because of that, Jewish nationalistic fervor was at its peak every year on this particular day. The Roman soldiers had expectations. They were expecting trouble. They knew that some years before, before Jesus, a Jew named Theudas of Jordan had pulled the same stunt, riding into Jerusalem with great cheering. And Theudas had started a Jewish revolt against Roman authority. The Romans had cracked down hard on that uprising, and they didn't want it to happen again. That revolt had been put brutally down. 400 of Theodosius's followers were killed, and Theodosius's head was hung on the garrison wall. So the Romans were looking out for trouble. Tensions were really high. And most obviously of all, the crowds in Jerusalem had expectations. In fact, the people just went nuts when they saw Jesus riding in. They stripped branches off the palm trees and laid them on the road. They took off their cloaks and laid them on the ground in front of Jesus, in front of his donkey. This was just giving Jesus the equivalent of the red carpet treatment today. And people began shouting, "Hosanna, save us now." As far as they were concerned, they were watching history unfold before their very eyes. They really, really had great expectations. The trouble is, they were completely wrong expectations. And that's why just a few days later, the same people are in another crowd. And they're shouting again. But this time they're shouting, "Crucify him." So what happened? I've got to move somewhere where this isn't creaking. What happened? Why the sudden change? It helps to know just a little history to understand this. The crowd that gathered, who were calling out Hosanna, weren't just the normal residents of Jerusalem. They were a crowd of, it's estimated, up to 500,000 people. Jerusalem normally about 50,000 people, but 10 times that number would have come into the city for the feast of the Passover. And they had heard about Jesus and his miracles, especially about how he raised Lazarus from the dead just a few days before. And their expectations were so strong in one direction because they were probably thinking about something that happened 200 years earlier when the Jews were ruled by a man called Antiochus Epiphanes. This guy had bludgeoned the Jews into submission for years. He was a really, really nasty piece of work. He was absolutely hated by the Jews because he did awful things, like, for example, slaughtering a pig, a ritually unclean animal, in the Holy of Holies in the temple and forcing the priests to drink its blood. Difficult for us to imagine just how utterly horrifying that would have been for the Jews. And Antiochus Epiphanes continued until another man called Judas Maccabeus couldn't stand it anymore. And he rallied his friends and family and troops and staged a guerrilla war for 9 years. And finally he overthrew Epiphanes and ran him out. And there was a huge celebration. And everyone was waving palm branches and shouting his name over and over. And after that, the palm branch appeared on the back of Jewish coins, and it symbolized always for the Jews victory and deliverance from oppression. And he thought it was just a convenient thing to wave. Actually, a palm branch was a really powerful symbol for them, a political symbol. Well, here in the Gospel accounts, it's 200 years later, and the Jewish people are now again oppressed, and this time the oppressor is the Roman army. And so when the people hear about Jesus and his miracles and they shout Hosanna, which means save us now, at the top of their lungs, And they're waving palm branches again because another victory is coming. Another deliverer. Just like Judas Maccabeus, they think. And he's going to get rid of this conquering army. What the crowds are saying is, Jesus, be like Judas Maccabeus and deliver us. Deliver us the way he did by overthrowing the government. But their expectations and their focus was completely off track. Totally off God's plan and God's intention. And yet what the crowds were calling for was to be saved. Now Jesus would do that, but in a bigger, more profound, more powerful way than they could even fathom. I wonder how often your expectations go off track. Certainly mine do. I can have the expectation that God will save me right now from all sorts of troubles that I'm going through. The thing is, God's way of working is so different to our expectations. We just don't get this so often, what God is doing in our lives. We can go from praising him one minute to wondering if he cares about us the next. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit opens our minds to something new, to God's way of doing things. And it's always a step beyond what we, from a human perspective, had in mind. Always. We expect one thing, just like the crowds cheering Jesus at Jerusalem, and we get another. If you've been expecting God to do something for you, come through for you in a certain way, and it hasn't happened or didn't happen, it may be that you are experiencing disillusionment in your faith right now, disappointment with God, or confusion about what God is doing in your life. You thought, or your expectation was, that God was going to answer your prayers. Instead, it seemed to you as if God did nothing. Or there was a different outcome, so different from anything you'd expected or hoped for, that it just drained the joy and trust from your spiritual walk. Well, if that's you, listen, the Bible is full of exactly that kind of confusion, that kind of disappointment with God, of people not understanding God's plan, not understanding what is going on. And those questions and that kind of disillusionment is the story of Holy Week. Holy Week, that's the week between now and Easter. Holy is an interesting word. It doesn't mean pure or perfect or sanitized or bleached. The word holy means other, completely different from us. A completely other way of looking. A whole other dimension. A whole other way of doing things than the human way. So instead of calling it Holy Week, just for the sake of knowing what we're saying for a minute, maybe we should talk about celebrating Other Week this coming week. This week, this last week in Jesus' life is all about people who thought God was going in one direction and found out that God's plan, God's model, God's way of thinking was in a completely different direction entirely. During this week, this other week, the disciples did all kinds of things that expressed their confusion and disappointment. They ran away. They wept. They feebly fought back and gave up. They hid themselves trembling with fear in a little room because what God was doing was something so other, and it looked like failure. It looked like the end of all that they had invested their lives in. The truth is that what may seem like failure or disconnect from God in your life may simply be that the story isn't over yet. Your resurrection morning, your Easter morning, may be just around the corner. God has another chapter to write, perhaps, on the pages of your life. Or it may mean that God is doing something so other than what you expected that you aren't recognizing him now in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. Our expectations, our preconceptions, our plans, our ways of thinking can blind us to Jesus' presence and Jesus' other way. So if we decide that this is other week, clearly we need to exchange our expectations for God's way, for Jesus' way. That's the bottom line of all this today. What are your expectations of what God is going to do in your life, in your career, in your friendships? What are your expectations of what God is going to do in your family? What are your expectations of what God is going to do in this church? Maybe now is the time to mentally tear those expectations up and go back to God and say, okay, Father, what are your plans? I thought it was going to be like this, but what is actually going to work? What things and ideas and people and places have I cynically rejected when actually they are the things and ideas and people and places that you are planning to use for your kingdom? I don't know what those things are going to be for you, but I suspect that a great place to start, in fact maybe the essential place to start, is the cross. You need to go to the cross. You see, the cross is so other. Who would have thought that a brutal instrument of Roman torture and execution would be the answer to the cry, Hosanna, save us now? But it is. Let's spend some time in prayer, and you can either close your eyes and imagine a cross, or you might find it helpful to look up at this cross here. See yourself putting all the disappointment, those expectations of God that you've had where it seems God hasn't come through for you. Those things or relationships that just haven't worked out the way you hoped, even though you've prayed about them over and over. See yourself placing all those expectations down. Lay them down. Surrender them. And tell Jesus, I ask you to take my sadness, my fears, my lack of faith, my failures, even my disillusionment with you, my misunderstanding of what you're doing, and bring me to a resurrection morning. Help me to stretch in order to get on board with your other way of doing things that is so different to mine. Help me to recognize your presence in the midst of whatever I might be going through. And Lord, because I trust in your goodness and love for me, I will wait on you with hope. Amen.